Tonight to the book of Revelation in the third chapter, verse number 3, verse 7 through verse 8. Now last Sunday night, I preached, would somebody please just open the door? And tonight I want to preach, come on in, the door's open. We're going to go a little different direction, but we're still preaching about the door. And we know who the door is, don't we? Amen. Come on in. The door's open. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Amen. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Everybody say, the door's open. Come on in. Amen. Come on in. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you and you may be seated. I'm going to take my coat off. You want to take yours off? That's fine too. Amen. Praise the Lord. We preached Sunday about opening a door. And we concluded that message with the fact that Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. There is a door that God will not open, and that is the door to your heart. That is the door that you must open for him. He's a gentleman, and he will never force himself. He'll never enter in by force. He's not going to come in like a thief. He's not going to come in like a burglar. He's only going to come in if you'll open the door. But if you open the door, he will come in. But there are some other doors that God and only God could open. And God did. And he said this. He said, when I open a door, he said, and now till I get ready, it stays open. Amen. I open a door and there's not a man that can shut it. And he says, I close a door and there's not a man that can open it. So when God gets ready to open a door, friend, it's open. And he said here, he said, I set before you an open door. And so you and I are living in the age of the open door. There was something very special about the church in Philadelphia. Philadelphia was founded as a missionary church. Now, it was not the right mission, but it was founded with a missionary mindset. The king of Pergamum founded the church, or the city of Philadelphia, and according to one story, named it after himself, according to another, named it after his brother. But the city, the word Philadelphia means brotherly love. So he founded that city and named it after, apparently, his brother. And Philadelphia was founded because it was at the border of three other important and key areas that where they were trying to convert to Jewish, or to rather to Grecian culture and the Greek language. And so it really was founded as a missionary point so they could get the Grecian culture and the Grecian language into those countries so that they could get the barbarism out. And they were very successful in doing that. I think it was Lydia and Mysia and Persia. And all of those countries became steeped in the Jewish language, or in the Grecian language and Greek culture. And so it was a missionary city. But when God put his name there, he said, I'm going to change the mission tonight. Amen. And it became a missionary city, all right. But it had a different mission. It wasn't to spread Greek culture and Greek language, but it was to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it did a tremendous job out of the Church of Philadelphia. There came great and marvelous ministries. And that region experienced great revival. As a matter of fact, when the Islamists came in and the religion of Islam, and they conquered all of Asia, the last to fall was that community in Philadelphia. And until this day, there are still Christian churches and Christian influence in that region. So God said, I'm going to open a door here, and I'm going to send the gospel out. And that's exactly what he did. Hallelujah. So God opened a door. Amen. First of all, God himself is the door. Amen. When God, he asks us to do little things, and then he does great things. He said something as simple as this. He said, if you'll just open a door, I'll come in. Hallelujah. And the great thing happens when he comes in. Praise the Lord. Little things can cause great and powerful things. When you get in your automobile and you just do something as simple as turn a key, and it starts a lot of power going, doesn't it? You put that thing in reverse and you back out and put it in forward and you start going forward and it's got a lot of power. And it all started with something just as simple as the click of an ignition and a little spark here. And then it set in motion great things. That's what happens when you work with God. He never asks you to do anything you can't do. But he says, if you'll do what I ask you to do, I'll do what you cannot do. So to one grew to a servant, he said, if you'll just fill up these water pots, and if you'll just take this water to the governor in a cup, that's all I'm asking you to do. How many of you could fill up a water pot or carry a cup of water? We could do that. Amen. But God said, you do that and I'll do what you can't do. Amen. So somehow or other, he turned the water into wine. He did the miracle. He told some men one day, he said, if you'll move away that stone right there, he said, I'll get old Lazarus out of that tomb. Amen. All you got to do is move the stone. I'll take care of the impossible. I'll take care of the miraculous realm. Amen. And so God says, if you'll just open the door and you'll just step through the door, he said, I'll take care of it from there. God's just looking for some folks that'll just open the door. That'll just step through the door. A door that he already has opened and made effective for us. Hallelujah. God's just looking for some folks that'll believe it. Any believers here tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. He just said, if you'll just believe, he said, what's going to happen? You'll receive. It's that simple. Believe it and receive it. Doubt it and do without it. Amen. It's up to us tonight. So the Lord said, I'm going to set before you an open door. The church is an open door. Amen. Aren't you glad the door's open? Some of you might remember a man by the name of Charles Mahaney. Anybody ever hear of Charles Mahaney? Brother Charles Mahaney, my, did he ever have a testimony? He was quite a character. Charles Mahaney wound up in jail and headed for prison and for life. It was over. He had his three strikes and he was out. But God laid it on a man's heart, a preacher, to go by and see him. So he went to jail and our prison, and he found him and he witnessed to him. And he tried to get him. He said, the Lord sent me here and he wanted me to tell you about him. And he did. And he said, now let's pray. And Brother Mahaney said, I don't know how to pray. He said, well, you just talk to God like he's your friend. He said, if I do, he'll strike me dead. Apparently, he didn't talk very nice to his friends. So he kept visiting, and finally, believe it or not, he got special permission to get Charles Mahaney out of prison to go to a church service. I love that testimony. He said he came to church that night, and he's amazing, isn't he? You think God doesn't have this great sense of humor? He really does. I mean, he made hyenas and stuff. Amen. They laugh. Amen. He made iguanas so ugly they make anybody thankful. She don't look that bad. And so God's got a great sense of humor. But Brother Mahaney went to service that night, and he said that service was going good, and he said that, boy, they were getting with it. And he said, these people are crazy. I'm getting out of here. So big old burly, strong, ex-motorcycle guy with all the everything. I mean, he had it all. He'd done it all. He was in and out, and he was a bad fella. And so he said, I'm getting out of here. These people are crazy. So he steps out, and he starts going to the door. And this little lady starts shouting. Thank God for a little Pentecostal lady. And she started shouting. Had her eyes closed. Out in the aisle. Woo! Just praising the Lord. And so he went to the right, and she went to the right. And he went to the left, and she had her eyes closed this whole time, screaming right in his face. And then she's going, and every time he'd try to go a direction, that's the way she'd go. And her eyes were closed the whole time. Amen. Finally, the only way to go was to the front, so he ran to the altar. Amen. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And not only did God fill him with the Holy Ghost, but he got him out of prison. And called him to ministry, and he had a great, great ministry. Tremendous preacher. Preached revivals and evangelists for many, many years. Thousands and thousands of people found the Lord because of the ministry of Charles Mahaney. He was chaplain over our prison ministry in the United Pentecostal Church on a national and international level. Just a great, great man of God. Amen. But here's what I always appreciated about Brother Mahaney's testimony. I'm one of those people that grew up with a Pentecostal heritage. And I'm not ashamed of that. I broke my last baby bottle in church. I was 18 months, not years. And or however old it was, I don't really remember that. They just told me that. Anyway, I broke it and never got another one. Whatever that's all about. And so all my life, it's all I've ever known. Amen. Slept on Pentecostal pews when I was little. Some of you still doing that. But I outgrew it somehow. I guess because God put me in the pulpit. It's hard to sleep up here in Brother Hart. And so my whole life I was just a little Pentecostal, and it's all I've ever known. Amen. Just great Pentecostal services. Amen. And so thank God for that great Pentecostal heritage. My mom had the Holy Ghost over 60 years, and just a great woman of God. Appreciate it so very much. Great influence in my life. Great prayer warrior. So this is all I've ever known. But but there were times, especially when I was young, and I'd hear all these great testimonies about how God delivered people out of drugs. Well, he delivered me out of drugs because I always got drugged to church. And after he gave me the Holy Ghost, I didn't want to get drugged anymore. I just wanted to go. So I've been going ever since. Nobody's drugged me in years. I want to be here. But they'd give these testimonies about getting saved out of drugs and alcoholism and all the rest of it. And I'd think, man, that's wonderful. Wow, God just did so much for them. What did he ever do for me? I didn't do any of that stuff. So I wonder what's so great about my testimony. But I always appreciated Brother Charles Mahaney, because he would give his testimony, and he'd say, now you hear all that stuff that I was in, the bad person I was. He said, but I wouldn't be here tonight if there were not some Pentecostals that kept the door open and the fire burning. So you remember something tonight. No matter how great somebody else's testimony may be, where they were and how God brought them out. And I don't belittle that. I thank God that he's a God of great mercy. Are you hearing me tonight? None of those people would ever come to God were there not an open door and some fire at the altar. Amen. And so those of you that have just been faithful through the years, and you've just kept the door open and the fire at the altar. Amen. Our hat's off to you tonight. Amen. Because the church is an open door. Now, you can find God anywhere, but the fact of the matter, almost all people will find God in a church. You can receive the Holy Ghost anywhere, but the fact of the matter, almost all people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a church. You can be baptized anywhere. I have a friend that was out in the middle of the ocean on a drilling rig, and he got to witness to some people, and they wanted to be baptized. So they let one of those cages down into the ocean, and he baptized them right out there on that drilling rig right off of the, in the water. Amen. He wasn't a preacher, but he was a great Christian. Amen. Is that valid, Brother Grissom? I suppose it is. Amen. And so they were baptized in Jesus' name, by Jesus' name, believing one God apostolic. Amen. Full of the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues and the whole business. And wasn't anybody else to do it, so he just baptized them out in the middle of the ocean. Amen. Hey, the church is an open door. It's an open door. Praise God. And by the way, the church is not a building. The church is people. Wherever you are, that's where the church is. When you're walking down the pickle aisle in Walmart, that's where the church is. Amen. If you're up on a roof in a house, that's where the Holy Ghost is. That's where the church is. If you're sitting in a class somewhere, that's the church. The Holy Ghost is there. Potential is there. Revival can break out there. Souls can be saved there. Miracles can take place there. Anywhere the church is, great things can happen because the church is an open door. And God said, I'm going to open the door. And he said, when I do, nobody can shut it. Now they've tried. One of the first things they tried, and they still do this today, they tried ridicule. They brought Peter and John in, and what did they say? They said, these are ignorant and unlearned fishermen. They ridiculed them. Amen. Just a bunch of hicks from the sticks. Nobodies. Amen. Rednecks. Mine may be a little red, got some sun this week. But just all kinds of names, ridicule. We've been called everything in the book. Yes, we have. Amen. They used to throw rotten vegetables at us and burn down brush arbors when we didn't have churches. Amen. Some of our young people were beaten at school because they believed this. One of our preachers, Brother Kilgore, he wasn't even allowed to go to a certain school because the principal said, we don't want any of those apostolics going to our school. Of course, today, school gets shut down with a lawsuit. But back in those days, amen, it was just, that was the powers that be. I'm just saying tonight, the world has tried to shut this door, and it has tried to shut us up. Amen. It's like the little lady that was, oh, she was excited. She was shouting and worshiping God. And somebody said, hey, God's not deaf. And she said, you're right, but he ain't nervous either. And she kept right on shouting. They try to shut us up. And they've been trying to do it for years. Y'all had one time and there was a meeting and boy, you know how we can get. Amen. Back in the days before air conditioning, all the windows were up and it's summertime and bugs flying in and an exciting service and the neighbors started calling because it got too loud. And the police came and they said, you folks are making way too much noise over here. You got to shut this meeting down. And Brother Gidrose took him back and he started pointing it out as he walked down the aisle. He said, look over there. And there was a little boy sound asleep. Said, look over there, and there's another one sound asleep. And there were people, little kids, sleeping all over the church. He said, it's not the noise that's disturbing people. He said, it's the conviction of the Holy Ghost that's making people upset. Amen. If it was the honky-tonk down the street, they wouldn't have been calling. If it was somebody's radio and they were having a dance and a party, they wouldn't have been calling. But because it was the Holy Ghost with conviction, they said, you got to shut it down. But they didn't shut it down. Amen. They've been trying to shut us up. First time I preached in Costa Rica when I was at language school, it was tough enough preaching Spanish. There was a guy that hated the church. He sat out in front of the church and he honked his horn the entire time that I was trying to preach. But he didn't shut us up. Then finally I got to preach in the big church. Guess what? The parking lot next door, they set up right beside the church building in an empty parking lot, and they set up these massive speakers, and they had a dance right out there beside the church while we were having church on the inside. You could see that wall throbbing while the sound was so loud. Amen. But you know what? They didn't shut us up. Amen. So they've been trying to close this door for a long time, but they still haven't closed it. Amen. Praise God. They said nobody will believe this. You might as well quit preaching. Guess what? There's more people that believe the apostolic message today than has ever been at any time in history. There's more people getting the Holy Ghost. There's more people being baptized in Jesus' name. There's more people coming out and walking in holiness. And I said, quit preaching that. This is modern today. You got to quit preaching that old stuff and let everybody get with it. You know what? The churches that do that die. People want something that will change their life. They want more than just an easy believism. They want something they can feel. They want, when they get ready to get God, they want something that will change them and give them power to overcome their sin. They're looking for a change in their life. The only place they can get that is in the church with an open door. Amen. They've been trying to stop it. They tried to kill it. They used the sword and that wouldn't do it. They used the fire. That wouldn't do it. They used wild animals. That wouldn't do it. They've used everything to kill Christians they can think of, but guess what? It's still going on. And then we got to the scientific age. And they said, oh, we've outgrown all that now. Amen. We're way too smart and educated for that now. Amen. We don't even have to believe in God anymore because we've made science a God. Well, guess what? You can make a God out of anything. But you don't just need a God. You need a Savior. And there's only one Savior. And His name is Jesus. You can believe in any God you want to believe in. But when it comes time to be saved, there's just one. Praise God. Amen. So they said, well, we'll shut it down. Guess what? 2,000 years later, the door's still open. You know what? It's open in more nations tonight than it's ever been before. We're preaching this gospel in more countries than we've ever preached it in. We're preaching in prisons, nursing homes. One of the greatest meetings I was ever in was in a public school in Colombia. I've never seen the Holy Ghost quite like that. It's different than anything I've ever seen. We went to a public school. We did a health fair, I guess. And along with the health fair, we did a vacation Bible school for the kids. And we had the puppet team there, and we kept talking about getting the Holy Ghost, and getting the Holy Ghost, and getting the Holy Ghost. One of the neatest things, we had some boys sneak off one day to go to a prayer meeting. I've heard boys sneaking off for a lot of stuff, but never a prayer meeting. Amen. But they were getting so hungry for the Holy Ghost. And they said, when can we get the Holy Ghost? It's a public school. And finally, we talked to the principal about praying, and she said, you got 20 minutes, and that's it. We gave an altar call. Now, I've never seen anything like this. Kids came down. I don't know how many were down there, but there were kids everywhere. And we just had, and these were children. These were not Pentecostal kids. These were just school kids that we had told about the Holy Ghost. They'd never seen anybody get the Holy Ghost. They never heard anybody talk in tongues. And they came down, and they got down to the front. And guess what they started doing? Acting like kids. Pushing and pulling hair and poking one another and giggling. They were just a bunch of kids. And we had 20 minutes to pray. They wouldn't announce the Holy Ghost in the place. And we said, everybody close your eyes. And they closed their eyes.
We said, now just raise your hands and start calling on Jesus and telling him that you love him. And they started doing that. It was just a few moments and tears started running down their cheeks. And the Holy Ghost began to fall all across that place. Children that had never heard of the Holy Ghost began to speak in tongues as the Holy Ghost came and filled them one by one. Amen. What was there, 80-something, Rachel, more that received the Holy Ghost that day in a public school? Amen. You can't shut this door. You can't close this door. God opened this door. And it's going to stay open until He comes and takes us out of here. And then He's going to close it. But when God opens the door, it's open. Amen. And so God opened the door and He called it the church. Amen. False teaching won't close the door. They've tried that. Amen. There was a man one time, he got a revelation, Brother Hart. He'd been preaching this truth for years and years and years, and all of a sudden he got a great revelation. And he started preaching that new revelation and the new doctrine. And he had a large church, and one day the board talked to the pastor, and they said, Pastor, they said, I'm sorry, but you know, we can't go with this. We can't believe what you're preaching because you founded us on the Word of God. He said, oh, but you know what I taught you before wasn't true. I've got a new revelation. They said, but the Scripture hasn't changed. What you taught us before, that's the Scripture. That's true. You're going away from what you taught us. You're going away from what the Bible says. And so that pastor went on, and as far as I know, as long as he lived, he preached false doctrine. Amen. But that church today is still one of the largest, most powerful churches in our fellowship. Because somebody founded a church on the Word of God. Amen. And even though he changed, the church didn't change. Amen. You see, he opened the door and God kept the door open. He said, you're not going to close that door. You preach what you want to preach, but this door's going to stay open. I believe God has opened a door in Athens, Texas. Hallelujah. I believe He's opened a door at this United Pentecostal Church. And hear me tonight. It's got to stay, it's going to stay open. It's not going to be shut. Nothing's going to shut the door. It's going to stay open. Amen. Praise God. So God does great and mighty things. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 9, the Apostle Paul said, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. But I said, there's many adversaries, but they can't close the door. There's a lot of enemies, but they can't close the door. There's a lot of trouble, but it can't close the door. There are going to be trials and temptations, but it won't close the door. Because Paul said it's an effective door. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. The church is effective. And since you can't close it, you might as well just get in on it. Hey, come on in, the door's open. Hallelujah! Praise God! Amen! Sister Donna told me Sunday morning that she wanted to make this her church. Praise God! We're glad the door's open, sister. Come on in. Amen! We're glad you're here. Hallelujah! There's a whole lot of folks here we want to see. Come on in because the door's open. Praise God! We're not closing the door on anybody. Amen! So the door is open. The door's open today. When the church has an open door of revival. I know people today are saying, well, you know, oh, it's just the things are not like they used to be. You're right. They're not. They're not like they used to be. And it never will be again. Never will be again. Because that time came and it went. And it'll never be the same again. Amen. We're living in a different day than we've ever lived in. And guess what? If the Lord tarries another 5 years or another year or 2 years, it'll be different then. It's not ever going to be the same. Amen. But you know what? God created a church that will thrive in any culture and any time. Amen. Praise God. It's always been different somewhere. Amen. Hallelujah. See, you can't go to Columbia, South America and have church in Columbia like you have church in Athens, Texas. Because Colombians are not like Athenians. They're different. They speak a different language.
They have a different culture. Amen. Now, you preach the same message. You preach the Holy Ghost and they talk in tongues just like we do. They get baptized just like we do. Praise God. In el nombre de Jesucristo. Amen. Para el perdón de sus pecados. Al arrepentimiento. Si predicamos. We preach about repentance. We preach baptism in Jesus' name. Amen. El don del Espíritu Santo. We preach the gift of the Holy Ghost. We preach all of those things and they get it. We preach la santidad. We preach holiness. Yeah, man, we preach against sin, but it's a different church. Amen. I like church in Columbia. Amen. Praise God. If I was preaching in Columbia tonight, probably everybody in the house would be standing on their feet. Half of them would be right down here. Amen. And you'd be preaching, they'd be going, Gloria a Dios, hermano! Predíquelo, hermano! And they'd be sweating because there's not any air conditioning. As far as I know, there's not an air-conditioned church in the country. Amen. And when they play, all the instruments would sound funny because all the speakers are blown. They only know one way to do a speaker, and that's turn up as loud as it'll go. It's different. They have church differently there. Amen. The first conference I went to where we had a real good PA system, it was the first time that we'd ever had drums at a conference. Now, some people thought that was the demise of the church, but we did have drums, and they brought them. And guess what? We had 12 microphones for the whole conference, and 8 of them were on the drums. I said, "Brethren, it's not going to work here. We got to rearrange things." But they were proud of those drums. but they have church. But they do have church. Praise God! They do have church, just like we have church. Amen. Praise God. Doors open. Doors open. Amen. And it's not the same. It's not ever going to be the same. Amen. You see, we've got to always be reaching forward. We can never go back. That was great. I thank God for our heritage. I thank God for our elders. I thank God for the pioneers of the gospel. I thank God for each and every one of them. But we can't live back there. We've got to keep pushing to the future. Amen. We have to reach this generation. This generation is different than that generation. Amen. I know sometimes we think, well, you know, I don't like the new songs. I don't like some of them either. Oops. Amen. Amen. You know, there's things I don't like. But you know what? I'm trying to reach this generation. And you don't reach this generation doing what you did in that generation. Now, the gospel doesn't change. The gospel stays the same. The message stays the same. And you know what? Our young people love this message. Amen. And they're obeying this message. They dress holy. They act holy. They talk holy. They live holiness. Amen. I'm excited about that. They go to the camp meetings and the youth camps and the youth events. They're down at the altar worshiping, praising God, lost in the Holy Ghost. Hey, that's priceless, folks. Amen. But it's different. Yes, it's different. Let me ask you a question. Were you different than your parents? Whoops. Snuck up on you, didn't I? Hey, man, yeah, we were different. They like one thing, we like something else. It hadn't changed. It's not going to. Hey, man, each generation makes its mark. But guess what? The door's open. Praise the door's open. Amen. They may worship a little bit differently than their elders did, but they're still worshiping. And the important thing is they're still worshiping the one true God. Amen. Amen. They're still getting the Holy Ghost. They're still talking tongues. And I've heard people say this, and it bothers me. When folks say, they didn't get the Holy Ghost I got. Yes, they did. God only has one kind of Holy Ghost. God doesn't have one Holy Ghost for one generation, another Holy Ghost for another generation. God doesn't have one poor sign of Holy Ghost for one person and a better grade of Holy Ghost for somebody else. The Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of God. It's perfect. It's beautiful. It's powerful. It's God Almighty. There's just one Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, they act different. Of course they do. They're not you. Amen. The Bible says that some come from far. A person that grew up in Pentecost their whole life is going to act a little differently than somebody that whenever you talk Calvary, you thought of a cross and they thought of somebody blowing a horn and a bunch of guys in uniforms and horses coming to the rescue. Same word. But to you it means one thing, to them it means something else. Because they grew up in a totally different environment than you did. It's going to take them a while to get the vernacular. Amen. Praise God. But hey, the door's open. Glory. Amen. Brother Larry Booker, in one of his books, they kept talking about fellowship. He thought, what's fellowship? Anybody know what fellowship is? Anybody love fellowship? Yeah. Well, they went to church. After church, after he got the Holy Ghost, they'd go to the pastor's house. And it was a home missions church, very poor. And all they could afford was toast. So they'd have toast and butter and toast and jelly. And so he thought, well, that's what they call toast. Because after church, they were going to go have fellowship. So he got the idea that must mean toast. Now, you see, he's part of the fellowship. He really understands what fellowship is now. But in the beginning, he didn't know what that was. But the door's open. Praise God, the door's open. He's one of the best preachers you'll ever hear today, but he didn't start out that way. Amen. God put him in a church with a wise pastor that helped him find his way and keep his balance and launch a ministry that became mighty. Amen. But it didn't start out that way. Amen. We got to keep the door open. Don't close the door on anybody. Don't close the door on anybody. Don't close the door on anybody. Amen. Be careful what you say to people. You can close the door. Amen. Be very kind. Be very compassionate. Amen. You don't need to straighten people out. Who was it? I don't remember the guy's name. Wrote a song called Only God Can Unfold a Rose. You ever tried to unfold a rose? You'll just make a mess. Because that's God's business. Amen. When it comes to unfolding a life, it's no different. Yes, we give guidance. Yes, we give guidance. We give counsel. We in the spirit of humility. We try to help folks. But if you blast them, you'll close the door. Be compassionate. Be kind. Amen. The Bible talks about being long-suffering. There's things we've got to be, because we got to keep the door open. Amen. Hallelujah. The church is an open door. It's an open door of revival. Amen. Praise God. You got to keep praying. Keep praying. Amen. And when you pray, you need to see your loved ones right here at this altar. You need to pray until you can see them there. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. A pastor and one of the saints was walking streets of a city one day and the pastor looked up and he saw this man. And he said, you know, he said, I saw that man in prayer the other day. He said, God's going to put him in our church. And the guy was with him. He said, he can't. He said, that's my uncle. He's the meanest man in town. But you know what? He's in the church today. And he didn't know he was the meanest man in town. I baptized a man one time. I didn't know he was the meanest man in town either, but they told me that he used to be. I didn't. I baptized a sweet elderly couple in their 70s. And they said, well, they don't go to your church. I said, yes, some of the sweetest people we've ever seen. Well, they said, they hate white people. I said, I didn't know that. Amen. Just acting on ignorance here. Amen. But you see, God opens the door. And you don't judge folks. Just let them come in. Just let them come in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And let me just say, you know, every time somebody new comes in the church, it changes the whole church. It does. So the more people you have coming in, the more it's going to change. Praise God. But some people don't want that. So they said, we don't want all these new people in here. Amen. Well, you know what happened? You're trying to close the door. Amen. God may just close the door on you. I said He may just close the door on you. Praise God. You got to keep the door open. Praise God. But loved ones and friends and family members and lost children and schoolmates, you know, God wants to add everybody to the church. Seems like I read somewhere in the Scripture, didn't I? It said, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the stated Word of God and will of God. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. You don't even have to ask if it's the will of God for people to be saved. You don't even have to say, God, is it your will to save my old mean neighbor? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. There was a time in certain areas of the country when they believed certain colors of people didn't even have souls. Amen. You know what? None of them were saved in that church either. It wasn't until somebody opened the door. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Guess what? God wants to save this city. God wants to save every soul in Athens, Texas. That's the will of God. He wants to save every child, every teenager, every adult. He wants to save every one of them tonight. That is the will of God. He's already said that. He's already told us that. There's not any doubt about that. Amen. It's already started. Praise God. And it's just time for it to intensify, isn't it? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Grissom, when are we going to have more revival? Well, when we do more Bible studies. And when we get a real active bus ministry, somebody that'll get out there on Saturday and knock doors, invite kids and hand out candy and get them to come. Somebody that's willing to sacrifice a Saturday morning to get out and hit the streets. Somebody that's willing to knock on some doors and hand out some tracts. Somebody that's willing to teach some home Bible studies. That's when you start having more revival. You know, if you just want to sow, a few watermelons, then you get you a few seeds and you'll grow a few watermelons. But if you want a whole patch, you've got to plant a whole patch. Amen. If you plant 10 watermelon seeds, that's your faith and that's all you're going to get. Amen. But if you'll plant 500 vines, then you're going to have fruit off of 500 vines. Except right now, wouldn't be wise to plant any. But when it comes to the church, the more seed we plant, the greater harvest we're going to reap. Amen. We just got to talk about Jesus. We got to invite people. Amen. We got to live a Christian life. Be a good example. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we just keep sowing the seed. It's a door of revival. God opened it. Amen. Praise Him. It's happening all over the world. Why not here? I said it's happening all over the world. Why not here? Amen. Anybody want to believe for a revival tonight? Praise God. Anybody want to work for a revival tonight? Anybody want to pray for a revival tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's there. It's for us. Amen. God wants it. Amen. You can't close the door of revival. God opened it. I said, God opened it. Praise. There's churches all over this country that people went into. You know, people went into a city and they started having church. And I've heard them say it. They said, "Well, brother, you can't have church. You can't have a revival there. That's a burnover field." Well, God doesn't know anything about a burnover field. Matter of fact, places where I've seen fire burn and it killed a lot of the brush and the underbrush and got rid of a lot of tares and all of that stuff, they have greater crops than they've ever had before. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And so God can have a great harvest in a burnover field. Amen. Praise God. That's the kind of revival that we're looking for. We were going to Raymondville. I stopped at this house, this elder minister, and I was going to give him something from somebody else. It was on the way, so I said, I'll take it to him. And so we stopped. And he said, "Where are you going?" And of course, we had our trailer behind our car, and he could tell we were going somewhere. I said, "We're going down to Raymondville, Texas. Ever heard of that?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "That's down in the Rio Grande Valley." I said, "Yes, it is." He said, "Ain't no money down there." Well, he was right about that. But you know what? I wasn't going for that. We were going to have church. You know what? We had church. Praise God. We saw one of the greatest revivals that the country's seen down there. Went down there. There was in the valley, Brother Hart, there was four churches. Four pastors and four churches. Amen. In the section, there were seven churches. Praise God. And now they've had something like 30 churches. Praise the Lord. Pretty good revival, huh? The largest church down there at that point in time was probably somewhere around the number of 40, maybe. 45. That was a big church. Amen. Now they've got several that are running over 200, 300. Amen. There's some revival taking place. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So you see, the door of revival is open. God believes in revival. The Lord took Ezekiel, the prophet, one time. He said, "I want you to go to church with me." So he took him to church. Amen. And then he was standing there, and all of a sudden he said, "But I want you to look over there." And he saw this water start running out the door. And then it started running down the steps. And it started running into the streets. And he went over there and he got him by the hand. He said, "I want you to walk with me here." And so he said, "I want you to walk over this way." So they walked over here. 1,000 measures. And he said, "Now stop." And he said, "Look here." He said, "It's up to your ankles." And he said, "Let's walk again." And so they walked 1,000. And slosh, 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 slosh. And he said, "Now it's up to your knees." He said, "Well, come on, let's go 1,000. Isn't this exciting? Man, they walking in the rain. And so he walks out and he said, "You know, it's getting up to our waist here." Amen. He said, "But we're not stopping here." He said, "Let's go a little further." And he kept saying, "And he brought me, and he brought me, and he brought me." God will take you if you'll let him. He said, "He brought me here, and he brought me there, and he brought me there," because he was willing to follow. And he said, "Let's go a little bit further." And by this time, that's up to their neck. And he said, "We got to start swimming, bud. It's getting over our head over here." Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. What was that? That was revival. That was a symbol of the Spirit of God. He said, and from here on, he said, "Watch." And it flowed out into the desert, and it made the desert bloom. And everywhere it touched, there were trees that were growing where trees had never been before. And flowers and vegetation were springing up. And he said, and there it was a salty sea. A dead sea, we call it. But when that water got into the Dead Sea, which is so salty, nothing can live in it. I've known some people like that. You get so salty. Amen. But they get the Holy Ghost, and guess what? It changes them entirely. So the water went out into that sea, and all of a sudden, where there had never been fish, there was fish. Amen. There was life. He said, everywhere the water went, there was life. Amen. You see, that's what we're talking about here. This is the church of the living God. Everywhere you go, there ought to be life. I've heard people say, "Well, he's the life of the party." Well, but let's mean that in a different way. Let's put that in a spiritual context. Hallelujah. I don't mean spiritual like being stuffy. Some people think spiritual, you know, is you're just got your holy clothes on. You know, and everywhere you go, you got your frown on. And your smug, self-righteous look on. And you make sure nobody won't watch you, God. That's not what he's talking about. Praise God. Amen. But you put a smile on your face. And you got a song in your soul. Amen. And you're rejoicing. Praise God. And you got something to sing about. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that's a beautiful thing. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't it a good thing that, Christians ought to be people that people want to be around. When you go to a restaurant, you know, the waitress should want to wait on you. Because you're not grouchy. and you give good tips. And you treat people right. And if something's wrong, you say it in a good, kind voice, or just eat it and shut up. One or the other. Amen. But you're not rude. Amen. I was in a restaurant one time, and I was at the cash register getting ready to check out. And this guy in a suit just like me, he's ahead of me. And boy, he was giving that woman what for. He said, "I have never seen such lousy service in my life." He said, "If it don't get better, we're going to quit coming here." And he wasn't getting much. The lady was just going about her business. And he said, "Do you know who I am?" And she said, "No, sir." He said, "I'm the pastor of so-and-so church." Man, I wish I hadn't said that. Amen. That's how you don't do it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. "You are the salt of the earth," he said. Amen. Didn't he say, "You're the light of the world"? Praise God. We got a ministry, folks. We got a job here. And our job is to bring life and bring hope and put joy. People like to be around you because you're happy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We used to go to Bible college, we used to go to a McDonald's. That was it, man. That was special. That was really special. But after church, it may not be anything but a Coke and when you got really rich, French fries. But we went to McDonald's after service. And they got to asking. We'd go in there a few times and come out of church. And we were all full of the Holy Ghost. And we'd start just, you know, singing a little bit. Amen. Hoping we didn't disturb anybody, sing a little bit. Amen. But you know what? They started asking us to sing. Really. We'd go and they said, "Would y'all sing some of those songs?" And we'd go into McDonald's. We'd be sitting there in between bites of hamburger and french fries and sips of Coke. We'd be singing. Amen. They liked it. Young people. Young people. But they felt something. They saw something. Amen. Our young folks were over here at the restaurant the other day, and they were after church. There were a bunch of them sitting together. They were having a good time. They were clapping their hands. And I noticed one of the waitresses came out and she was clapping and smiling real big. Amen. It had an effect. It's a good thing. Good thing. Amen. I'm talking about being a good witness tonight. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be salt. And you know what salt does? It makes you thirsty. Amen. And it preserves you. Yeah, we need some salt. Amen. And that's our job. That's what we're supposed to be. That's what the Scripture says that we are. So the Bible said, he said, "I open the door." Are y'all through, brother? Bring them on in. We'll finish in another hour or two. No, we're nearly through. I'm nearly done. Don't anybody leave. Nobody invite leave. But we're nearly through. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I've rambled on and going all over the landscape here, but let me close it here. He said, "God opens doors, and no man can shut it." They've been trying to shut the church up now for 2,000 years, and it's greater than it's ever been. Greater than it's ever been. Greater than it's ever been. Amen. Praise God. It's amazing. I stand amazed at what God's doing. But you know what? This is just scratching the surface. I said, we're just scratching the surface. It's getting ready to burst wide open. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They used to make fun of Pentecostal, but you know what? They got to losing so many people to us that they started clapping their hands. And they started, you look around you. Most churches that you go by now, on their sign, they'll have service, such and such time, traditional service they call it. That's the dead one. And then it'll say contemporary service. Contemporary service is where they try acting like Pentecostals. The reason they do that is because they were losing so many people to Pentecostal churches. There was a guy, he was a pastor of First Baptist in Dallas. I'm not going to mention his name. He's a tremendous author. I've got several of his books and I really like them. But he didn't believe in talking in tongues. And one time he got up in his pulpit and he mimicked talking in tongues. And boy, he let us have it. Big time. He tore us 10 ways from Sunday. Amen. But you know what? It wasn't but a few years later that same man from that same pulpit said, we better get to clapping our hands and worshiping God around here, or those Pentecostals are going to take over. Amen. Praise God. Now, let me just say this. Clapping your hands doesn't make you a Pentecostal. Tony Campolo, you know, he writes a lot of books. He wrote a book that said, How to Be a Pentecostal Without Talking in Tongues. Can't do it. That is the Pentecostal experience. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. That's why we call ourselves Pentecostal. Amen. Now you can act like one, but that doesn't make you one. The only way you get to be Pentecostal is speak in tongues as the Holy Ghost gives you the Spirit. Gives you the, you know, as takes over and gives you utterance. And that's the Pentecostal experience. It's Holy Ghost. That's biblical. That's biblical. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. Every each time they received the Holy Ghost, they spake with tongues. Amen. It's the pattern. Amen. But anyway, so God's opened this door. Now, let me speak one more thing, and I'm going to hush. Honest. The Scripture also said that God shuts the door and no man can open. Isn't that what happened with Noah? Those are some of the saddest words in the Bible. You know, God told Noah to get in the ark and his family. He said, now you stay there. And all the animals had come in. Now here's something very beautiful. The Bible says, and the door was open for 7 days. Nothing went in. Nothing came out. Why did God leave the door open 7 days? That was extended mercy. That was God's extended mercy. It was ready to sail. Everybody was on board. But God said, I got to leave it open just a little bit longer. Maybe somebody else would come. He left the door open. But at the end of 7 days, the Bible said, and God shut the door. And then the rain began to fall. The deep broke open and waters began to gush up. And it was too late. Because God shut the door. You see, there are certain doors that God shuts. There are certain doors that God opens. Amen. Now, here's the good news. There are some doors in your life that you wish you could close and it would stay shut. There are some things in my life. There are some things in your life that you wish nobody would ever know about. Now, right? Shake your head like this right here, Brother Grissom. You're telling the truth. Yeah. There are some things that I hope nobody ever finds out about me. There are some doors that you really wish you could close, and they'd never open. There are some things in the past that you're ashamed of. You feel guilt. You feel shame. Amen. You think, God, if I could just close that door. Amen. There are some habits. There are some addictions. There are some problems. There's some things in your life that you just wish that you could close the door. But I'm telling you tonight, God can close that door. You hear me? I said God can close that door. As a matter of fact, He wants to. God wants to close some doors in your life, and He doesn't want you to ever open them again. There was a missionary, certain country, an African country, and the witch doctor came to see him. And he said, missionary, he said, I'm getting ready to send you home. He said, why? He said, because I am going to expose your sins to this whole village, and you'll be so ashamed that you'll have to leave. And the missionary said, you can't do that. He said, yes, I can. said every missionary that's ever been here before you said, I've revealed their sins, and they left in shame. The missionary said, you can't do that. Well, the medicine man got all of his stuff together, and he got the music playing, and he went off into his trance. And I'm sure it was a satanic-induced thing. Amen. And after he'd done his whole show, and he came to an end, he had a big puzzled look on his face. And he said, I don't know. He said, I don't know what's different about you. He said, but every missionary that's been here before, I was able to see their sins. He said, but I can't see your sins. He said, the reason is, sir, is because I've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And he said, all of my sins are under the blood, and you'll never see them. You see, God made a way to shut some doors, and they'll never be opened. And don't you try to open them. The Bible says that God cast our sins in a sea of forgetfulness. And one preacher said he put up a sign that said, no fishing. Don't go fishing there anymore. Don't go dragging stuff out to beat yourself over the head with. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? And don't you let the devil do that to you either. That ever happen? You know, you start doing pretty good and all of a sudden stuff starts coming back. You know what? I know what you are. I know what you said. I know what you did. Amen. You hypocrite. You come to church and try to act godly. I know what you were. The key word is were. You're not that anymore. That God closed that door. And it'll never open. Doesn't matter. It'll never open again. Because God closed the door. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you for your time, your attention. Thank you for staying with me this long time. Amen. But I appreciate it so very much. But, amen. The door's open. Come on in. Anybody standing on the outside? Praise God. Come on in. Come on in. The door's open. You know, one good thing about not having air conditioning is that you got to have the doors open. And the windows are open. In Colombia, when we had church, everybody got to hear. Not just people in church. We had service one time and Sunday morning, I mean the place was packed. It was a full house. Hot. Oh, it was a hot place. Cúcuta. Had a weird name. Cúcuta. So we were in Cúcuta, and that morning, man, the church house was full. Windows open. Doors open. PA system blaring. Neighbors sitting out listening. Amen. And the pastor had a great idea. He said, we're going to have church outside in the street. Literally. I mean, they took the pews out of the church and set them in the street. They took the pulpit out of the church and set it in the street. They strung lights across the street. I mean, we had church in the street. We had a bunch of people there. Hey, man, I don't know how many were there, but there's a bunch of folks. And we had church. I mean, we had Pentecostal church. And you know, when it was over with, we had, I don't remember how many kids, my wife might remember, but I don't remember, 100 or something, got the Holy Ghost, kids everywhere praying, getting the Holy Ghost. And you know what? People sitting out on their porch were saying, come over here. And we'll go over to people, wasn't even in church, lay hands on them and get the Holy Ghost. Man, maybe we don't need air conditioning. Just kidding. Amen. But you see, not only was the door open, we just went on outside with it. Isn't that great? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to hush. I'm excited about revival tonight. I can't hardly quit talking about it. And I believe in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've seen too much of it to tell me that it can't happen. And then God opened this door. No man's going to shut it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He wants it to happen here. He wants it to happen now. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you so much. Let's lift our hands and talk to the Lord a moment here tonight. Would you do that? Jesus.